Yeah, I'm Georgia Stanway, and I want to be known as more than just a footballer. So I want to make sure that I make an impact in my community. I want to make sure that, yeah, I'm recognised for more than just the things that I do on the pitch, and that people don't know me as a number, but they know me as a human.
My dear team, we got another amazing new team member lined up for you. She's a lioness, literally, plays with Bayern Munich, and will be your favorite tattoo artist of choice. In today's episode, we speak about how to find yourself in a new environment, how important it is to have something that fulfills you outside of your job. We compare English and German football and learn how important it is to have the right support system that works for you around you. It was my total pleasure getting to know her. I definitely want her to tattoo me now, I'm not even kidding. And I can't wait for you guys to let me know what it is that you liked about this conversation most. So get ready and be excited now for 45 minutes of Georgia Stanway. This episode was post-produced by Axon Media, and also, if you would like to know more about Andy Axon, check out the show notes. That sounds really good, and that's actually pretty deep. Why does that matter to you so much, Georgia?
I think it's because football is often portrayed in many different ways, and the negative side of it can sometimes be more powerful than the positive side of it. So I want to be known as making an impact within my community, using the position that I'm in to help the next generation, but also having a life outside of football, because, yeah, football doesn't always have to be the be-all and end-all of somebody, because technically it's my job, it's something that I love, but it doesn't define who I am as a person.
Wow, and I know I just talked to which she calls herself Sunny, who won the Olympic gold medal in 3x3 basketball. She basically said the same, and I asked her too. It's like, how are you doing that though? Because it's pretty tough. Like, I'm not an athlete right now, but I define myself like a huge part around my job as well. How do you draw the line? Where do you, you know, make the cut?
I think it's utilizing the time that you've got outside of your environment. I used to be a person that would go, like, come home from training. It would be 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I knew that I had training the next day at 9 o'clock, so I wouldn't do anything, because I'd do whatever I can to make sure that I was prepared for training the next day. I felt like my life was fully submerged with football, and it wasn't until meeting people outside of my environment, making friends outside of my environment, speaking to the people that are most important to me, and they kind of gave me a reason to have more than just football, whether it be, like I said before, whether it be making an impact in community, whether it be helping the next generation, whether it be me doing something that is completely unrelated to football, something that takes my mind away from football. Because if you can get yourself out of the environment just for a few hours, it can massively help you when you are in that environment.
Before we got to this part, you said there is like this very negative part of football that can, you know, become really big and really, really heavy. How would you describe that? What's this negative part of football for you?
I think it's pressure. There's always the pressure on performing. There's the pressure on turning up every day. We live on a schedule 24/7. So there's no room for error. There's no room to have a bad day. I think the pressure of football is really high, but I think that's also what's the beauty of it, is the fact that you've got to be on the top of your game 24/7. There's always people watching. There's always people pushing for your position. There's always people wanting to wear your shirt. And I think that's the beauty of it, but it's also the part that tires you out.
Man, that sounds so self-reflected and really, really wise. And I appreciate you starting out into our episode like that. But Of course, we all are more than excited to get to know you a little bit better. And in order to do that, I always ask my guests in my episodes to like kind of like imagine a like a FIFA card and tell us what on your FIFA card or what would be on your FIFA card. And I mean, I don't really care about your strengths or your shooting skills or whatever, but more like, who is Georgia Stanway as a human?
Good question. I would say that I was pretty outgoing. I'd say that I like to have fun both in and out of my environment. The most important things to me are my family. They're massively important, my family and my support network. And alongside football, I'd probably say that my second biggest interest at the moment is trying to become a tattoo artist.
I've read about that, and that is so interesting, man. Let's just dive into that right now. I was planning to go into that a little bit later, but whatever. How did that happen? Like, how do you just decide to, you know, use a needle on people's skin?
I've always had an interest for it. I got my first tattoo when I was 18 years old. And yeah, it was just somewhere that I love to go. Yeah, I turned up to a place in Munich after a few weeks of being here going to get a tattoo. And I made really good friends with the owner and a few of the people that worked in that place. And it kind of became a safe space for me. I'm not a massively open person. I'm not somebody that's going to talk about my feelings so much or talk about where I've had a good day or a bad day. I have my people that I talk football to and everybody else I would like to just be Georgia with. And walking into that tattoo studio, I could be Georgia. I could talk about football if I wanted to. I could talk about my life. And yeah, it was just a real safe space for me. And I felt comfortable within a matter of minutes. And I kind of just had a little bet with the boss that was who's going to tattoo first. At first it started as a joke, and then I just genuinely really enjoyed it. I had more and more lessons, I spent more time with it, I managed to get stuff in my own apartment, so I was able to do it here, just practicing just on fake skin. And then I was doing a documentary with the BBC about things that you do away from football. And the presenter made a joke with me and said, oh, if you ever want to tattoo somebody, we'll come and do a documentary about it. So I decided that I was going to do my first tattoo live on skin for a documentary. I didn't put myself in the best possible position because I was absolutely terrified. But yeah, it was one of the best things I ever did. The emotions was crazy. And from that, I've just continued. I think I've done about 8 tattoos so far. So yeah, anybody that asks for one, I will, bite their hand off for it because it's such an honor to be able to do it.
You even tattoo your teammate here in Munich, right?
Yeah, I tattooed 2 people in my team, 3 people in my team, sorry. There's been a few boyfriends of the team.
That's so funny.
There's been, my brother, and then the first person was the guy that actually taught me to tattoo.
I saw that bit you did for BBC, and you look pretty chill though. You're saying it was mad emotions. You didn't move at all. You didn't shiver.
Yeah, I think, the video did me good. I think I was a bit more of a wreck in real life. I think if you watch the Bayern documentary, I'm a little bit more nervous in that one. That kind of projected my emotions. And I think that one was actually worse for me because I'd practiced so much how to do the blitz. And every one of my designs was perfect. So when I actually went to go and do it, the pressure was even higher because although That's I was wild. Confident, it was like, it was hectic. I think I used like 8 to 10 pairs of gloves because I couldn't get them on. My hands were too sweaty. And I was like stressing out and the girls were laughing. Afterwards, they were like, we've never seen you like that before. Like, no matter who we're playing, I'm never that stressed.
That's wild. Why would you say, or why do you think you're more stressed doing a tattoo than, playing a decisive game on the pitch?
I think it's because I'm putting something on somebody's body that could potentially last forever. Whereas in football, there's 10 other players around me that are going to help me achieve the goal. In tattooing, as much as I love the feeling and I love the fact that I'm in the zone, I love the fact that when I'm tattooing, nothing else matters. I don't think about anything else. In that moment, you're also so alone.
Interesting. I really like that. What about focus in that moment? How do you make sure to be laser sharp once the needle starts going?
I think you can't not be focused. Otherwise, your tattoo's going dodgy. Yeah, there was a few moments where the girls were asking me questions while I was tattooing, and I had to say, "You can't speak to me. You're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to answer these questions afterwards because I need to be in the zone." But no, I think it's just I really enjoy it. Like the feeling before it of like the excitement, and then when I'm in it, it's the adrenaline, and then after it, I can't sleep. So it's like
really, yeah, it's that's like, wild.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy emotions. And then while we were doing the documentary for the club, I asked Caro if she wanted to tattoo me. And she also, that was her first time for everything. And yeah, she really enjoyed the emotions of it as well. And afterwards she was like, for the whole evening, she was like, "I need to go to sleep. I'm so tired." And it was only like 10, 15 minutes work.
What she did on you?
The same, lightning bolt.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Partner Ted then. Mm. Oh, that's cool. What would you say is important about becoming a really good tattoo artist?
Ooh,
or what's important for you?
I think for me, it's the same as football. It's fine details. It's them little things that can help you make a bigger difference. In tattooing, you have to be so patient because at first you might not like what it's going to be look like. At first you might not like what you're doing, but then it takes time to actually be able to see the real picture. Mm. Yeah, so I feel like it takes time. It takes a lot of like accuracy, a lot of patience. There's also a lot of like different tricks in tattooing. So like you want to go to a certain side and then to the other side because you don't want to rub out your stencil. Then you have to do certain ways. And it's like football. It's like being a little bit like manipulative in them moments to try and find the best way to be able to do something.
That's really interesting. Never thought about it that way. And I don't think anyone has ever spoken about tattooing like that. That's wild.
I think it's different. Like when I speak to my parents, it's also different because they're like, tattoos are for thugs. Like,
oh, really?
Like, yeah, like back in the day, back in the day, the tattoos didn't have the best reputation. Whereas like times are changing, and I think more and more my parents see documentaries or they hear me talk about it, and then they're here and they're watching me do the tattoos. I think they kind of love it.
That's wild. So would you say that there's like an end goal to this? Would you love to have your own studio, or would you just be the traveling tattooing Georgia?
I mean, that would be pretty cool. I don't know my plans yet for after career. I think it would be cool to have a studio. But I also think it's just cool to be able to do it for the people that are closest to you. Friends, family, like people that you know that would want one. It's not about making a business. It's not about, it's just completely having something alongside football, which I totally enjoy. And yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, definitely. Pretty much the coolest side hustle or hobby you could have. Hey, listen, you said something, and that's a little bit off topic, not regarding tattooing at all, but I stumbled across something that you said earlier, because you said that you're not a very open person, like you don't talk about your feelings a lot, but at the same time, you're very outgoing. How do these two go together?
I'm always good. Even if I'm not good, I'm always good. And I feel like I can find a way to be able to, to be able to be present in a moment. I think I learned a lot about myself, and I learned to love myself when I moved to Munich. Because it was the first time that I was living alone. It was the first time for a lot of things. I was away from my friends. I was away from my family. And I kind of had to get comfortable with myself, and I had to get comfortable with my own company. And I think in that time, you kind of become a little bit of protective of yourself. And that's when I really found out my support network. I found out the people that I can talk to about football, the people that I can talk to about life, the people that, I know that I'm going to have a good time with, the people that can distract me from football. And in the 2 years that I've been here, I feel like I've really found my people, and I've found exactly who to turn to at what time. So I'm not going to talk about my feelings with somebody that I feel like I can have fun with, because that, for me, that doesn't work. Like, I like it when, there's different sections almost.
That's wild. Yeah, but I mean, it sounds healthy at the same time because you do have your support network and like the specific people you can talk to about whatever.
No, interesting. Definitely.
Tell me more about that move you made to Munich. You were at Man City before and then made the decision to come to Germany, which is, you know, I've never thought about it before prepping our interview today because usually it's the other way around. The best German players try to get into Premier League or women's, obviously. Yeah. But you did it the other way around. How so?
Yeah, I'd been in City for 7 years. At the time, if I was staying in England, I'd have stayed at City because they were the team that I really enjoyed playing football with, but I didn't really enjoy everything around it. I was kind of past that point in terms of I wanted something completely new. For 7 years, I'd walked through the same doors, I'd done the same schedule, and yeah, I was ready to go and experience something completely different. I wanted a new culture, I wanted to go to a team that didn't know who I was, that didn't know where I'd come from, and it was kind of just a little surprise for everybody. And yeah,
including
I just wanted
yourself.
To, yeah, including myself. Yeah, including myself. I think if somebody had said I was going to Germany, I'm not sure I would have believed them. In youth age groups, I always admired the Germans. They were always so good. They were so ruthless.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were so robust. And my favorite player growing up was actually Anya Mittag.
And no
obviously
way.
She played for the German national team.
That's interesting.
So yeah, I think it was a surprise for me more than it was for other people because other people had heard me speak about Germany a lot when I was growing up and coming through the youth age groups. So yeah, Bayern came in. They were very, very impressive. I really liked where they wanted to go as a club and I really liked how they saw me in the club. And yeah, personally, I think it's been the best decision I could have made.
So cool. And man, I've seen interviews where you're saying like, this is my home. This is really where I belong and I can see my future here. Please elaborate on that. How does it feel to feel at home, you know, across the ocean in a whole different culture?
Yeah, I fully believe it when I say it as well. I feel like this is the team that I want to go places with. This is the team that I want to be successful with. I think it's just the culture that we have, the togetherness is like no other. I've never been in an environment where it's everybody wants to spend every day with each other. Usually when you're in England, you go training and then you go home and you only see people when you're actually in your environment.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, whereas when I come to Germany, everybody's kind of moved for the same reason. So everybody's on the same path. Everybody's got the same goal. And yeah, we just kind of utilize each other even more. I've made friends for life here. And yeah, I just really enjoy it.
I really enjoy them too.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. Yeah. But I just really enjoy my time like on and off the pitch. Like on the pitch, I really enjoy the role that I've got. The expectation on me is really high. And I really like that. And it allows me to have the freedom, but also have the pressure to want and have to deliver every week. And then off the pitch as well, I've made my apartment home, my family come and visit. I've obviously got the tattoo studio. I've just got people in my life that are super important here.
Sounds so good. So healthy too. And obviously I'm super interested in how you're seeing and like assessing the different football culture as well. I mean, the personal side obviously really sounds like you played the game until the end, every level. but as I said, usually it's the other way around. And I mean, I don't play anywhere, but it does seem like the UK is so much further ahead when it comes to level, when it comes to financial support, when it comes to infrastructure in women's football. And yet you feel so happy here. What's your take?
Yeah, I think obviously, I can't speak for it in the last 2 years. I can only speak for it when I was playing in the WSL. And at the time, there was, us and Chelsea, Arsenal a little bit that were pushing for the top places and Chelsea were consistently winning. And obviously, you can see that they're still consistently winning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't speak for what's happened in the last 2 years, but I know that there was a big changes post when we won the Euros and obviously the investment, the import, everybody found England attractive. And I think there's more to life than just football. And I think there's more to life than just being in one place. If I'd have stayed in England, then I wouldn't have experienced these types of things. And yeah, there's different values within life and different values within the sport that allows you to get more out of your sport. I've never looked back. I've never once said I want to be back in the WSL. In the last 2 years, I've not said that. And yeah, right now I don't. That's where I don't want to be. Yeah, who's to say that things might change in the future? I don't know.
Of course.
But right now, where I want to be is exactly where I am now.
And you got 2 more years on your contract with Bayern, obviously. And still, I would love to know if you see the same potential that we're seeing in the WSL at the moment within the German Bundesliga.
Yeah, I think so. You can see that German teams are still going far in the Champions League. They're still challenging in the Champions League. Obviously, it was only not last year, but the year before that Wolfsburg were in the final against Barcelona. So when you say that, are the WSL so far ahead? Are they? Because it's still a German team that's competing in a Champions League final. So maybe it looks from the outside because maybe the media's a bit bigger, the money's a little bit bigger. Yeah, everything around it might be a little bit bigger, but that doesn't prove whether the football's better or not.
Interesting take.
Yeah, so I think I can only see it from my side, and I enjoy Bayern. I enjoy the football that we play. I enjoy the competition that we have week in, week out. One thing I do want to do is go further in the Champions League. And yeah, this year we need to go a little bit further just so that we can get that feeling. And yeah, when it comes to comparing the Bundesliga and the WSL, it's so difficult to compare. Like it's, yeah, it's so difficult. I feel like it's two completely different leagues.
What about the media side of things in Germany? Because I feel like, I mean, look at your Instagram account. Haven't done my research 100%, but there's hardly any German footballer at the moment with your type of reach. Do you think that there's a big gap Germany should be trying to close?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough question. But I would say that I think the media could be better. I think that the TV advertisement could be better. I know that there's been a situation with one of Germany's biggest TV channels this year because they can't show women's football because somebody else has bought that time frame. And I think that's poor because of the way that women's football's going, the direction that it's going. We want people to be constantly investing. We want people to be, yeah, constantly wanting us on the TV screens. But when it comes to people in the stands, we're constantly selling out our stadium. When we go to the away games, we've got probably more fans at away games than the opposition do when they're the home team. So yeah, it's the little things that like are so special here. And I think as Bayern, we've got a massive, massive fan base. And I think when it comes to social media, it's so subjective. I could have got a lot of my followers from when we won the Euros or when we went far at a World Cup. And it's not necessarily to do with, how we play in the Bundesliga.
Fair. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Trying to work on that for sure. Georgia, we have a limited amount of time today only, so we're already moving on to our 3 categories.
Yeah.
And you can pick the order. I totally forgot the word order.
Okay.
Which one are we going to do first?
Middle.
What we got here? Okay, so this is the German word. How's your German coming along, by the way?
Not enough to understand what that word is.
Einwurf, you should know that's the throw-in during the game. So that would be a topic that you think deserves a stage. Could be anything.
Oh, to do with me or to do with anything?
Literally anything. Something that you think is important to be mentioned.
I'm going to talk about the support for the next generation, and I'm going to talk about accessibility for everybody in order to play football.
Please go ahead. Why does it matter to you so much? I mean, you mentioned your passion for giving back to the community earlier.
Yeah, it really matters to me because I'm from a place in England which is geographically terrible when it comes to opportunity, when it comes to having to widen the horizons. I had to travel a lot when I was younger in order to chase my dream. And if it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in now. I wouldn't be in this position if they hadn't have drove me 3-4 times a week, spending 10 to 20 hours on the motorway every single week. So if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in this position now. So I think for me, I want to create an opportunity for everyone. I want to make sure that everybody has the access to be able to play football, or the access to be able to have fun and have it for free. The opportunity to, just step out of their comfort zone or step into something that they completely enjoy, that can take their mind off whatever's going on in life. And that's my goal for the future. I want to create a foundation. I want to create an opportunity that can help people, first of all, in geographically not very good places. And then second of all, allowing everybody to be able to come together and not have so far to travel. I spent a lot of work over the summer in the US looking at non-profit organizations. That was important for me because I understand the pay-to-play rule in the US. So I wanted to, I wanted to kind of get my head around how people have, how people do get the opportunity to play when they can't afford to play. It was really, really interesting to me. It was really inspiring. And I had such a good time with the kids. I had such a good time with the workers that were there, that were all volunteers, all people off their own back and wanted to help kids, wanted to make sure that, they step onto that pitch and nothing else mattered.
And how exactly are you planning on giving back? Is the foundation focusing on, building pitches? That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, so I'm in talks at the moment with my council and through the FA, because after the Euros, we were all able to have the opportunity to talk about creating a pitch in our hometown.
Wow.
So that's something that is in the process of happening at the moment. Every year I also get grants from Nike where I can provide kit, equipment, balls. So that's always going to the local teams to make sure that they've got enough stuff to to last them through the season, whether that be individual coaches, whether that be, teams, just making sure that the kids don't have to pay for stuff, they don't have to pay for their football fees. My dad's in my hometown as well, so he's always keeping an eye out for what's going on or what needs to be done and what kid needs boots and just collecting things here and there just to make parents' lives a little bit easier.
That sounds lovely. And I truly believe that everything ends and starts with the grassroots level where there are kids either deciding to play or not to play because of seemingly little things as not having boots or cool.
Yeah, no, fully agree.
Love that throw-in. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Left. We got this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'm super interested in your answer for this one. It's the head coach. And in this category, my guests always share what or who acts as a head coach in your life or has in one very specific and potentially tough moment.
Good question. Obviously my parents, they're there, but I'd say they in football are my assistant coaches. I'd say my head coach, I've got two and they're both my agents. One's called Doran and one's called Holly. And they've just got a massive impact in my life. I speak to them every single day. They kind of have control of my life in terms of what I'm about to do, what I'm going to do. They tell me if something's a smart decision or not. And they're just there 24/7. Even if it's just a FaceTime to speak to their kids, and it's just it's just complete everything. We can have serious conversation, we can have fun conversation. Holly's been in my life for probably about 2 years now. And then Doran's been in my life for 10 years. Got a really, really good relationship with them. And it was just something that, they approached me when I was young, or I approached them when I was young, because I needed some help with what I was going to do in my next step. And from there, it just continued and grew. And them two people are probably one of the most important people when it comes to my mood, when it comes to talking about things in my life, when it comes to making big decisions, and also just on a daily basis, just checking in.
So interesting. And shout outs to Holly for setting up this interview as well. Really appreciate it. Hearing you talk about this relationship and the big decisions in life, that has me wondering if there's anything that, you know, kind of scares you, or if there's anything that's, you know, kind of feeling too big for yourself to decide. What would that be?
I literally talk, like, I would talk anything. It would be whether I'm going into a meeting this afternoon, what should I talk about? Whether there's a step in life that I need to take, whether it's buying a property, whether it's, yeah, anything. It could be going out for food and we're asking for food recommendations. Yeah, they're the two people that just are there no matter what, no matter what time of the day it is, they're going to reply to me. But I think it's more than that. I think it's just, for me, it's having that stability of somebody there 24/7. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to me that it's not my parents. Because as much as I love my parents, they're not the people that I want to be talking about football with 24/7. I want my parents to be my parents, and I want my football environment to be my football environment. And likewise, I wouldn't expect my parents to give me tactical information.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. So it kind of works both ways. Yeah, my parents understand the relationship that I've got with Doran and Holly, and whenever I'm coming to England and I'm seeing Doran and Holly, they're a little bit annoyed, but they understand the bigger picture. But no, I think it's just such a nice thing to have the balance of my parents are who I am and they are who, yeah, I am also, if that makes sense.
It does, totally. And it's so interesting. I was just thinking about how precise, like how thorough you are about this balance. This is football and this is everything else that's Georgia.
Yeah, no, fully. I think I've developed that. Obviously, it's been over like 10 years now. So I've developed that after a game, it would be Doran, the one that I'm speaking to, or it would be Holly with a little bit of input. And yeah, it's just kind of become like a habit now. Every game I expect to be able to confide in somebody, and they introduce me to my mentor, they introduce me to an analysis, they introduce me to, yeah, somebody that can manage my finances. And it's just, they've been in charge of, yeah, it sounds dramatic, but they're probably in charge of my whole life. But I wouldn't change it because that's exactly how I like it.
And that's so interesting though, because a relationship like that must be based on so much, I want to say confidence, obviously, on trust.
There's so much trust. Yeah,
that's not, you know, or that's rare to find, I'd say.
Yeah, no, fully agree. And it's almost hard for me to describe it because they are my agents, but they're more than just agents. And the word agent doesn't do them any form of justice.
That's so cool. Interesting. And I mean, let's stick to the word agents. The word or the job, definitely in football specifically, has quite the difficult reputation in our times.
Yeah, and straight away an agent, you would think of a negative connotation. Whereas for me, my agent is my day-to-day contact.
Interesting. That's really cool. Well, again, shout outs to Doran and Holly. That's really cool.
They can pay me later.
Yeah, I'll forward that to Holly. Last category is the shootout. That's a little rapid fire of questions that I prepared.
Okay.
You're free to answer briefly or elaborate as long as you want to.
Okay.
As long as the answer is good. You ready? Getting tatted or tatting someone? I would love everyone to see your face right now.
Wow, that's threw me off.
Mm.
What if I tap myself?
Okay, next episode of the BBC.
That's never happened, but maybe
documentary.
No, I'd probably say tatting somebody else. Yeah, the emotions are ridiculous.
That's so wild. I kind of want to try now.
Yeah, you need to. It's harder than it looks.
Oh, I don't think it's easy at all. It's just, it has to be wild because, like, especially as I saw this little bit of that documentary, seeing you work on that, like, fake skin or whatever it's called. Yeah. That's, like, such a wild concept, too. That must be weird. I don't know.
It's like silicone.
All right, then. What's the favorite tattoo you've ever done? Your favorite tattoo?
Ooh,
of all the eight.
I'd say the first one was special to me.
It was because, like, this broken vase with the flowers.
Yeah. It took a lot of planning to go into it. It was a design that we'd created ourselves. And we went with the broken vase because I did about 10 practices and I couldn't draw a circle vase. So I had to put a crack in it so that it wasn't, like, perfect.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and then we went with three flowers on one side and one flower on the other side, because my number's 31. I was born the 3rd of the 1st, and then the guy that I was tattooing was born on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it took a lot of planning to go into it.
Uh-huh, and you added a whole lot of meaning, too.
And you don't forget your first one.
No, I can't imagine, yeah. On a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you enjoy fishing?
Oh, I saw you
with this massive, like, bass or whatever that was on Instagram.
I've not done it in a long time, to be honest. I've probably not fished in, like, 2-3 years. But when I was there, I loved it. So I'd probably say a 6 because, obviously, I've not done it in a while. But when I do get the opportunity to do it, like, I really enjoy it. It's so peaceful. It's, yeah, the thrill also, like, when the beepers are going off and there could be a fish on the end, the adrenaline starts going.
Can you actually fish around Munich? I wouldn't know.
There's, I don't think so. Lakes. I think there's different rules in Germany. I've not fully looked into it because I've not got no equipment here. Tattooing kind of took over my life.
See, fair. Who's more fun to hang out with? Young Philly or Niall Horan?
Do you know what? Young Philly is very, very funny. But Niall Horan was great. When we went to go and watch him play in Munich, there was 4 of us that went to go and watch. After the show, we went back into his dressing room and we were just with him and his band for like 2-3 hours, just talking about life. For me, that was super refreshing because I didn't expect, first of all, to be asked to go into the dressing room, cool. Never mind spend a few hours just chatting in there. He was just super normal. Everything that's happened to him has not once got to his head. He was just really, really normal. He really actually appreciated the fact that we stayed and that we could talk to him.
Sweet.
Because, he said sometimes after shows he would just play PlayStation or he would just get in the van and go to the next destination. So I think he really appreciated he really appreciated the fact that we'd stayed. And it was just really nice to just have completely different conversation talks.
That's crazy, right? You would never believe that someone like him playing a show big as the shows that he's playing would, feel lonely after.
Yeah. But no, he was super nice. He asked if he could come to an England game, but the dates didn't work out. And then he was recently performing again at a festival in Munich. But we didn't see each other, but we spoke. He invited us to the show, but obviously we couldn't go because we had an away game. But it was just cool the fact that, like, he remembered and that he just really cared.
That's cool. And I mean, there are more Lionesses games ahead, so...
Yeah, you never know.
The opportunity isn't all lost.
Yeah.
Next one would be, rate your Wimbledon experience on a 1 to 10 as well.
Oh, Wimbledon.
That's been bad.
That was a while ago. Yeah. That was a while ago, that one. It was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool. I didn't actually realise how strict or how serious it was. That was my first time. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm not a massive tennis person.
It's fair to say.
Opportunity to go to Wimbledon was something that I couldn't miss. And yeah, it was really nice to get invited. And obviously after the tournament that we went to, it was nice that we could all just go as a team and just, enjoy the full day.
If you're saying you're not a massive tennis person, which is obviously okay to say, what other type of sports do you enjoy, though?
I really enjoy watching rugby. I've got a lot of friends that play rugby, and obviously I'm from the north, so it's a given that I have to do that.
Oh, and you have a cricket background as well.
Yeah, I used to play cricket when I was younger. It was kind of a choice between cricket and football, and yeah, I'm glad I chose football.
That's
But no,
wild,
I
yeah.
still really enjoy watching the cricket and got some friends there that play also.
Oh, yeah, wild. Just imagine if you would have chosen cricket. You would have never come to Germany because there's literally no cricket around here.
It's crazy actually.
Maybe you would have never started your tattooing
Yeah, exactly.
career.
Exactly.
Well, two more. What's cooler, to have a documentary with yourself in it or a book?
I think documentary.
Huh.
I'm not a reader, so if I was having to deal with it, I would prefer to watch it than to read it because maybe I would never ever read
Okay, well, fair. So
it.
there is a Lioness's book with you in it, obviously, right now, and you just
Yeah,
had
there
the
is.
release of the Bayern. What's
Yeah.
it called? 90 minutes.
Yeah, more than 90.
More than 90 minutes.
Yeah.
How was that night for you guys?
Yeah, it was very cool. We had like the premiere for it. And yeah, it was cool. It was just completely different. Obviously it's more than 90 minutes, so you get to see individuals' lives both on and off the pitch. But yeah, I just thought it was really cool. I was a little bit apprehensive because I don't like being followed by a camera, and yeah, I'm scared to be
Interesting.
shone in a bad light. But the documentary did me good. Yeah, I'm excited for more episodes to come out, and then people can, yeah, see their opinions.
Really cool. I definitely have to check it out. And the last rapid fire question is, what's your favorite thing about Munich?
I think for me, the people make
Oh,
it home.
interesting.
Yeah, the people make it home for me. I obviously enjoy going into the city. I enjoy good food. I enjoy, yeah, wandering around. But I think what makes Munich so special is the people that is around here.
Oh, that's a really nice one. Really big compliment you're granting to the city. All righty. So, looking at the time, we only have like 2 minutes left, but I also only have two questions left. So, we're great in time. The second last question I would like to ask you is, what would you like every girl to know about football?
Football is like an escape. When you step over that white line, nothing else matters apart from you being with your team. Your team become your friends and they become your family. And yeah, when you cross that white line, all you think about is being present in that moment and following through on the actions that are given. Yeah, you don't need to think about anything else when you're playing. And it's kind of an escape from reality, an escape from normal life. And yeah, you get so much joy from the little things.
That sounds so good. And I do remember you saying earlier that you really enjoy and like are really good at being 100% in the moment. And that's such a huge skill that you need on the pitch as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously when you're young as well, it's just to not put too much pressure on it. You've got so much time to develop, so much time to learn. Not every day has to be perfect. I was a perfectionist for a very long time. And I think it's only as I got older that I realized that mistakes are really healthy.
That's so
So yeah,
cool.
not to put too much pressure on it. And if something happens, then you analyze it, you review it, you put it to bed, and you focus on, yeah, the next day.
That's so cool. Georgia, and the very last thing, we're done basically with this episode, and I'm so grateful that you're making the time in your very busy day. Again,
No
shout outs to
problem.
Holly too. I always close these episodes with asking you guys to give a pep talk that you would give, to either a young girl listening or to the next generation, as you called it a couple of times. What do you want them to really know in order to keep going and believe in their goals and themselves?
I think whether it's football, whether it's something academically, whether it's something at school, is you get the most out of it when you enjoy it. You don't have to force anything. You don't have to make
It's
things work
nice.
24/7. You don't have to be a perfectionist, like I said earlier. I think it's just about making sure that you put one step in front of the other, but you're doing it with a smile on your face.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Georgia. I
No
loved the
problem.
conversation. Enjoyed the input.
No
All the
problem at
best
all.
to you and
Nice.
the tatting career.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.